Do you ever wonder how many times you push your wheelchair in a year?
I've done 867,000 pushes so far this year. I got
wheels. Greetings, everyone. You are listening to the Quad Podcast, the place where our brothers and sisters in wheeling get together to discuss day-to-day living as a quadriplegic. I'm Bob Ness, a C6 quad since 1987, and my guest on this episode is Jim Welty, another C6 quad who is on the show for his second time. This time to talk about his yearly quest for 1 million pushes in a year. If you listened to the first podcast with Jim, you know that he's a numbers guy with a lengthy career in insurance. And with that, he uses his spreadsheet skills to track his daily pushing. Jim recently moved from Chicago to Central Florida, which weather-wise makes for an easier time in making his 3,000 or so daily pushes, although he did have to adjust his taste buds a little from the Chicago cuisine. We talk about many handy products to help you with your pushing in this episode, from the Apple Watch to help track how many pushes you do every day, to the Freewheel wheelchair attachment, which is a third wheel that attaches onto your wheelchair's footrest, which essentially makes you a very smooth rolling tricycle. A must-have for anyone who wants to have an easier outdoor push, either on or off-road. Frog legs, which are basically shock absorbers for your front casters to stop vibrations. I did a quad podcast with the inventor of the frog legs a couple years ago. You should check it out. And the Invictus stationary roller for exercising in your chair inside. And last, the importance of having a spare set of tires at your immediate disposal. As always, please like and share this episode, and don't forget to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Your feedback is always welcome at quadpodcast4@gmail.com. Again, that's quadpodcast and the number 4@gmail.com. You can also tweet me at quadcast4. Thanks again for tuning in. Enjoy our conversation, because the good times always never end. All right, everybody, Jim Welty is back again for a second podcast. We'd like to thank you for coming on the Quad Podcast for a second time. I guess the first time was so exciting we had to have a second one, right?
Exactly. More things to talk about.
And now you are on a quest for 1 million pushes a year, and that's it's something that I have thought about a lot since my accident. It's just like, you know, we just go out, we push around every day, and you go where you got to go, and then your day is over. But I started to wonder about it, about how many times I pushed. Maybe like after I hurt my shoulder, I was just like, Jesus, how many times do I do this motion a year? And then there was really no way to calculate it other than counting as you, right. Excuse me, as you go along. And until Apple came along with the Series 3 watch, which has a function for wheelchair pushes.
Yeah, it was amazing at how accurate it is.
Yeah, I was like shocked at how like you said how accurate it was, because one time I went downtown and I literally counted every push, because I was like, how many times does it take me to get into the office and then to the train and then back home? And I counted, and then when I got my watch, I was like, Jesus, it was within about 100. But it was still, you know, I didn't know if I did 10,000 pushes a day or 1,000. Like, I had no idea. Did you have any idea?
Well, I've been kind of tracking this for like 5 years. I mean, even before the watch, I was able to do mental counts. And I've got this, I don't know, habit that I would go in circles. You know, I push in circles a lot. And what I do is I count this, you know, how many pushes it around that circle, and then I do that circle 10 times. So if it's 50 pushes, that's 500 total. And then mentally, I kind of track it. But now with the watch, it's all automatic. It counts the number of pushes. The other thing I don't know about on your watch, but mine actually has like a trip thing where it will measure how far you've gone using GPS. I don't use it, but it's kind of cool too. In the past, I've used it a couple times. It'll say I've gone 1.75 miles. And I've not used that feature often, but that's, if you've got an Apple Watch and you're, you know, you push your chair, that's another cool option.
Yeah, and that's what I, for me, with getting the Apple Watch is just when you hit the activity button, and you could just say, you know, outdoor push, no goal, it starts to track you, and it uses GPS. So like every time I come back from a push around my neighborhood, I live in the city, so I just roll around up and on the sidewalks and all around. And you get like a map of where you've been, and it shows you like how fast or how far you've gone, all the streets you took. And they look pretty funny when you get back and just like realize how you zigzag around the neighborhood. But it also tells you how far you've gone. Like you're saying, like You know, you've pushed, you know, this one push is 1.6 miles.
Yeah.
And then one push was 1.9 or 2.8 or whatever it is. And then you can see how far you've gone, not to mention how many pushes. And so you're trying to average like 3,000 a day, right?
Yeah, my goal is 2,700. If you multiply that times 365, it's right near a million. As I look at my spreadsheet right now, because I keep the other spreadsheet, like every Monday morning, I'll dump what's on my phone into the spreadsheet, and I'm at 867,000 pushes so far this year. I'm about 3 days ahead of schedule because I've got a real spreadsheet that got a pretty graph and everything. And I do the basic math on it because my pushes are about 2 foot, maybe 2.5 foot for each one. So that's about 328 miles I've done so far this year. I'm definitely going to make a million. I don't have a problem with that. It's something that I've tracked forever. I did have a lull back in maybe August, June-ish, somewhere in that range, where I did screw up my shoulder somehow, so I had to back off, and I actually
It from the constant pushing the exercise pushing?
It's kind of strange. When I push in a Costco or a store, and it's all flat and there's no challenge to it, I do something to my shoulder that it doesn't like. It's like too easy. Mm-hmm. But when I'm out there pushing on the street, or pushing in the pavilion, which we can talk about, there's little hills and little dips and really valleys and this, and that doesn't bother my shoulder as much. So now when I go into a Costco or Sam's Club or something big like that, or grocery store, obviously those pushes count, but I consciously have to push a little differently so I don't muck up my shoulder.
That makes you hurt your shoulder being inside in a flat place?
Yeah, it's like it's too easy, so I'm pushing too hard. I don't know what the...
Dialing too much horsepower in, man.
Maybe, yeah. It could be something like that. And my day starts at 6:30. My wife works, and as part of our routine, and I want to build this pushing into my routine, I'm not doing it only for a million pushes. I mean, that's a goal, but it's really my only form of exercise. And I figure I'm 55. I want to do something now. I had a conversation with a guy, a wheelchair repair guy, about 2 weeks ago. And he says, "How long have you been in a chair?" And I said, "I've been 40 years. And he says, "Your shoulders aren't screwed up to the point where you need an electric chair?" And I had never thought of that. I mean, my thinking is I'm never going into a power chair as long as I possibly can. And I think that in my limited knowledge is that people that get put in chairs today, break their neck or whatever, they are automatically put in power chairs.
They use power chairs more frequently. I mean, I'm with you. I like pushing. I like the organic feel of touching the tires and kind of like moving a little bit.
Yeah.
It feels like you're more attached to the chair. It's more of a part of you. But I mean, granted, we're C6 quad, so we can move our arms and shoulders a little bit better. Then someone, I mean, if you're a C4, you obviously can't push.
Right.
It's just, you know, I'm with you. Like if I got into a power chair situation, I would probably you would never really get back out of it because, you know, you get weak really quickly.
Yeah. I noticed that when I took the 2 or 3 weeks or 4 weeks off, or, you know, I did limited pushes there in May or June, whatever it happened to be. When I came back, it was like, wow, this is whole different. I mean, even in that 2 or 3 week span, my strength diminished a little bit. So I get up in the morning.
Your endurance goes down and your strength, like pushing up hills goes,
exactly.
Down.
Yeah. So I get up at 6, my wife gets up at 4:30, she gets me up, I'm up by 6 o'clock, we talk for a half hour, she leaves for work at 6:30. At that time, what she does is she'll put me in the street. The deal with our house is
in the street.
Yeah.
She drops you off on this. That sounds
get out of here.
Sounds a little harsh. Come on.
Yeah. It's you know, tough love. No, I can't do the driveway by myself because the driveway is too steep. So she'll put me, you know, down the driveway. And if it's too dark, she'll actually push me the block and a half up to the fitness center. Otherwise,
you live in one of those Del Webb places,
exactly.
That like an organized neighborhood with a bunch of carefully designed streets and curbs and rec centers and whatnot, right?
Right. So about a block and a half from the fitness center, which I don't actually go in the fitness center. I push over there and I will push in its parking lot, or there's a pavilion beside the building, which is basically a great big open air building that's about, say, 150 by 75, and it's got picnic tables in it. And I
And you're
push in.
outside. You have the benefit of the fresh air and
Oh yeah,
everything.
perfect. Yeah, it's 70 degrees out there. 70, and it's 6:30, it's usually 70, 75 degrees. And I'll push in a circle around those picnic tables for an hour, hour and a half. There's a gentleman's club that comes in there at 8 o'clock, and we share the pavilion for about 15, 20 minutes, and then I go on my way because I have a friend of mine will meet me at the driveway and push me into the house at 7:45.
And
He
just a
goes
really
up.
steep driveway.
Yeah, he goes to the pool. So on his way to the pool, he'll push me up to the driveway and into the house. So in that hour and a
See,
half, I
once again,
get.
quads relying on the help of good people in the neighborhood.
Definitely, definitely. You get that a lot here. I mean, we were talking the other day about how people are so helpful, and they're always. I can't early on. When we first moved here, say a year ago, I couldn't go 3 minutes without somebody coming by and saying, "Am I okay? Do I need help?" And
Can I get you
now
something?
I'm kind of a fixture, and they just leave me alone and they know I'm pushing. And a couple of them congratulate me and was like, "Hey, how's your trek going?" and all that. And it's a community here, and a lot of folks use that fitness center, so I run into a lot of folks a lot of time.
And
So I
then the one
over.
time you do need someone, they think you're okay, and they just kind of go, "Hey, Jim's fine.
I
He's just
used it as a
stretching."
test. I don't know, 2, 3 months ago it was. I dropped my headset and I said, "Okay, here's the test. There's got to be coming somebody within 3 minutes to come ask me for help because now I really need help. My headset's on the floor. I can't get it." And sure enough, it was about 3 or 4 minutes later. A guy came up. It's like, "Hey, do you need help?" I'm like, "Yeah, I need my headset." So it worked out well.
But I had a question for you about your about when you're pushing in your the pavilion. When you push, do you push all the same direction? Do
No, I
you like
go.
do all counterclockwise or all clockwise?
I specifically go. It and it's the other kind of, I don't know, strange to me kind of thing. If around the picnic tables, clockwise is 90 pushes. Counterclockwise is 85, and I specifically do 12 rounds. I'll go 12 one way and 12 the other. And when I do that 24, that's about an hour, a little more than an hour. And that's about somewhere near 2,000 pushes. So then it's when my driveway to the pavilion is about 600 pushes, give or take. So what I'll do, like I said, I go over at 6:30. I'm over there about, say, 7 o'clock. The gentleman's club comes at 8, so I'll hang around there until about 8:15 or so. So I'll get maybe, well, at that point, I'll have 2,000 and the 600, 2,600. So I'm good to go. I mean, I could push all the way back,
That's your
but
2,700 for the
yeah, I
day.
got mine. So I'll meander around. There's a baseball club, baseball field over there. I'll go see what's going on in the baseball field. And then I'll come home to 600. So I'm good at. There I'm like 32, 35, and just by wandering around the house, or if we happen to do something at night, I could get another 500-ish. So my average right now is somewhere in the 3,500-ish
That's kind
a
of
day.
where I try to go, and the reason I asked about the direction is because, summertime in Chicago, I like to get out and I like to push around the neighborhood, and you look at the houses, you see people, and you wave and what have you, and just it's good to see other folks, and it's good, the curb cutouts, you're kind of like going slow, you're going fast. There's a little bit of a, I put my Freewheel on, which is another great product for those of you out there that have a manual wheelchair and want to get some good exercise. It's great to hook onto your chair.
It's on my wish list.
Yeah, I mean you should get one. So they're really great. They make the roll 100 times smoother. So I use it on the sidewalks all around here. But there, when the weather was a little bit bad earlier, just this fall, it got a little chilly, and so I was like, well, let me just go in the basement. We have a parking garage downstairs, and I'll do like loops like you did. And I just like I for some reason like doing the counterclockwise loops better than the clockwise loops.
Yeah.
And it just was weird, but I'm like, okay, I'm working my right arm more than my left arm. So I just, that's why I had to ask you, just like, it just feels weird. You know, I guess I guess it's like a stock car thing. Not that I'm a stock car driver, but.
Well, I want to touch on the freewheel thing. We went to Europe last year we were in Europe for a month, and the traveling people that we were with, she was from Australia and she had one of those freewheels. Going over everything in Europe, or at least everywhere we went in Europe for a month, was cobblestone. And cobblestone without that freewheel thing was a borderline nightmare. And this was like, man, I got to get a freewheel the next time.
Would you have frog legs on your chair?
No, I don't have those either. I know we talked about those.
Oh, man, you must have been rattled to death.
It was crazy. And, after a while, you got used to it, but. I actually, in my wish list, I've got the free will. I look for it. One of these days, I'll pull a trigger on it. I just haven't had the need recently.
I got to tell you, even just for your pushing around there, it was invented by a guy who's a quad who lives in Idaho. I met him at one of the abilities expos here in Chicago. And he hooked it on, set me up. And I was like, this is exactly what I want. Like, it makes you a three wheeled. Like your tricycle, and it tracks straight so that with your casters, you're not you're turning a little bit with every push and depending on the sidewalk. And as you know, everything's always pitched toward the street, and it helps you track straight. It helps the rolls are smoother. It helps your arms. It feels a lot better with your arms. And as you notice when you were in Europe, it makes cobblestones disappear. You're only on the back tires and the freewheel. For those of you who don't know freewheel, check it out, freewheel.org. Or gofreewheel.com. Sorry, gofreewheel.com.
The other thing I was thinking about when we were talking about you and your pushing, do you listen to something, or do you just let the street noise go? Or
well, I always like to know what's around me and be aware of my surroundings. So yeah, I usually listen to a podcast. So it's talking as opposed to music, because music you really get more immersed in. But talking, I can at least, I want to be able to hear somebody walking up behind me. I want to be able to hear, if a car is careening off the street or something like that, even though I do stay on side streets and sidewalks.
Yeah.
But yeah, I definitely want to have just talking in my ears, not even that loud. Just because if someone says hi, you kind of want to be, neighborly and well, talk to them.
I listen to Audible books and, you mentioned it, they have to be at the right level so I can hear somebody around me. And I've gone through, since we've moved to Florida, I'm a spreadsheet. I keep spreadsheets for my spreadsheets. I have a list of the books. I have a list of books that I've listened to since we've been down here, and I've got maybe 60 books in already. Just listening to books and I'm all over the map. I just finished, not too long ago, I finished Anna Karenina. Right now I'm doing a
book. Just read that myself.
Yeah, that's an interesting book.
I use my eyes, not the audio, but
it's a big book.
800 and some pages. Great story, though.
Yeah, it was a good story. So I use it.
Tolstoy, he's got a little, skill. If he's not careful, he might be successful.
I was surprised at how well... I guess I shouldn't be surprised, but I was surprised at how well the book was written. You actually felt like I could understand what life in Russia in the 19th century was kind of like. I get a sense of it.
He's a great writer, but that's everybody has their own thing, whether you're jogging or running. I think if I was on a stationary roller, which is my next, you've got your wish list of your, of having a freewheel. My next wish list is a stationary roller, because it's getting to be winter right now, and I'm still going to want to be pushing, because I am obsessed with closing my circles. I don't know if you keep looking at your watch to make sure that you've closed your circles or you push every hour, but I am, and close your circles, damn it. But the stationary roller is it's made by a company out of London called Invictus, and so you can get on it, and each wheel rolls independently.
Wow.
So you can push forward, and then you can also push backwards, which is a great way to work your biceps. I might be pulling the trigger on that pretty soon, because I just feel that it's just really important to keep keep the blood flow going, keep your shoulders in shape, and just keep your body in shape, and which also helps your mind stay in shape.
Well, and going a little bit further, I was to the doctor a couple of months ago, and she was amazed at my numbers, you know, because my cholesterol's down, and I was never near diabetic, which is you don't have to worry about diabetes. You know, your blood pressure's good. You know, she has some experience with other disabled people, and she says I'm by far way healthier than the average one. So
what did she say about your shoulders? Did she say, like, was there any, like, extra wear and tear on your, you know, sockets and ligaments?
Didn't really talk about that. No, she's more worried about, you know, the conversation we had was numbers based. I guess she didn't really care how I got there. She was just glad I was there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cause I wonder, you know, I tore my rotator cuff about, it's been years and years ago, but I went to my doctor and I was like, oh Jesus, man, this my arm is killing me. You know, I can't even lift it. And so he's like, well, you know, if you didn't use a wheelchair, I would just put you in a sling and tell you not to use your arm for 3 weeks. But it's like, that's, you know, obviously not even a possibility. So I borrowed a friend's power chair and just used that for 3 weeks just to get back to being able to use it. And then ended up getting a steroid shot in my arm, and then it felt a lot better. But it's just, yeah, that really made me realize, like, don't overdo it, don't hurt yourself. And we use our shoulders. If you're doing a million pushes a year after 40 years in a wheelchair, you've done 40 million pushes, like the way your shoulders, that's like,
yeah. People I can't say that I've done it, you know, a million every year, but I know that I actually have a spreadsheet that shows that I did in 2013. I started, and as then I was like 500,000. And 2 years ago, I want to say it was 2 years ago, I did 1.2. And last year, my goal was 1.1, but because we were in Europe for a month, I couldn't make that goal, so I didn't make that goal. So this year I'm kind of back to, because I'm in a new environment down here in Florida and everything. Like, let me start at 1 million, and maybe next year I'll do 1.1 again to see how far I can go. And
that's great to have that kind of goal, man. I think that's cool that you at least set that for yourself.
Well, it helps me get out, because if I I'm like most people who hate exercising. I really don't even look at this as exercising. It's me getting out of the house. You know, the pavilion is on a lake, you know, right on a lake, so I can watch the birds. And there's a hawk that travels through there. And, you know, you kind of wait for the hawk. And it's next to the horseshoe pit, so I can watch the guys play horseshoes. And it's about maybe 200 feet or so from the baseball field, so I can watch guys play baseball. So it's more of me for getting out of the house to do something, because otherwise I'd be in the house from 6:30 in the morning till 6:30 at night when Mary gets home.
And that's so important, just like for mental health, just a change of scenery, a change of environment.
Yeah,
you know, just getting out and rolling around. I mean, I guess like us pushing around like that is kind of like just going out and taking a long walk for people, where it's like, walking isn't necessarily huge exercise. But it's good to do just to keep everything moving in your body. It's not like you're jogging or training for a marathon or something like that, but it's just like, you know, as wheelchair users, we can get out and do some serious heavy training if we want to, but just like getting out and pushing is just kind of the least that we can do. Cause I know, like you just said, like if I stay inside during the day, if it's a crappy day and we're not, you know, going out or doing something like that, it's just like, I'll do like, you know, 600 or 800 pushes just around the apartment. And I'm like, this is really, really nothing. And so, you know, last winter I would go up and down the hallway and just, try to get some pushes in, but there's nothing better than getting outside and doing, you know, going around the neighborhood and getting, you know, I try to go for an hour, which is usually around 35 to 4,500 pushes. So, and ends up being pretty cool.
You mentioned it earlier, now that I'm in Florida. I mean, when I was in Chicago for 30 years, well, actually I was in the Midwest my entire life, but I lived downtown Chicago for 30 years. And, it comes about that late October, early November, where your outside options are near zero. and they don't come back until late April, early May. So there's that 5-6 month period where you have to be creative. I remember I pushed in the driveway or the parking lot of my condo, and the last building we were at, Lakeshore Drive and Chestnut, we there was a 20th floor common area that was I would push, and it was only like, I don't know, maybe 60 pushes in a loop, but I'd have to do that 50 times to get my 3,000 pushes.
Exactly. Yeah, that's how it is for me in my hallway and in my condo too. Or it's just like, I got to go back, you know, to be out for half hour, 40 minutes, I got to go up and down the hallway, like literally, like you said, 100 times. It's just like, wait a minute.
Yeah, and if you're listening to a book or whatever, it's amazing how fast the time goes when you're into something and, you know, I'm watching the birds or I'm watching this, and all of a sudden it's like, man, I got to get back because Tom's going to be at the driveway looking for me to push up.
But you're out getting your pushes, and then, having a guy there that's nice to help you. You know, get your stuff done. Is it like a 45-degree angle or something in your driveway? Or
I'm not good with angles. It's steep to the point that I just can't do it.
And
the other thing is, if you're familiar with a lot of most driveways, they've got a little ditch at the bottom. So not only do I have the slant itself, but I've also got the little ditch thing to get over.
The gutter that takes all the rainwater.
Exactly.
Away.
Yeah. So it's. And then we do have a ramp from the garage into the house, but I haven't quite mastered that yet. Ramps are, tricky for me. I can do a lot of inclines, but certain ramps, they just have to be long enough. Like you're able to do the ramp in your car or your van. I can't.
Yes.
I can't do the ramp in my car.
Well, I do mine backwards, and that's like for those listening who have seen the minivans that have the ramp that fold out. From the side of the van, I have some friends that can go up frontwards, and whether they can grab their tires and push up, or my friend that's a quad who just goes frontwards with a huge head of steam. I don't have that. I don't have that kind of strength, I get a little nervous that I'm going to get halfway up and have to go backwards and then flip over. So I just go backwards, and I just, my hands, like some quads' hands go floppy, some quads' hands turn curly, and so mine are curly. So I'm able to go up backwards and just pull myself up the ramp and just grab it that way. But and you're totally a different situation because you've had your fingers amputated, so you have to go up frontwards, right?
Yeah. Well, they push me up. I mean, I've tried, and I've even got a little ramp into the front door here.
You have a minivan though, or you have?
Yeah, we have a minivan. Yeah. We've got Dodge Caravan or whatever, with the kneeling, I can't get it. It's too difficult, and
it's a tall order to go up frontwards. It's really steep. I could not make that straight up.
Yeah, I don't drive, so if I'm getting in the van, I'm getting in the van with someone anyway. They push me up into the van. So,
when I go downtown by my or downstairs in my van by myself, it's sometimes I can make it up in one time. I'll pull myself straight up, and I'll be like, wow, that was pretty easily. And then, just for last night, for example, I was going down to get in the van to drive downtown, and it took me like six times, and I just started getting pissed off. I'm like, sometimes the aim is off a little bit, and sometimes you just, yeah, it's just it's my strength. I'm like, why is my hand not hurting or not holding on that well? Yeah. So, there's all kinds of different factors that go into getting up that steep ramp. But, hey, everybody's got a different, different strengths and different abilities to manage different angles and different, you strategize all the angles.
Yeah, and I try different things. And I play with this ramp here and, one of these days I'll figure it out. It's just a matter of doing it. I'll get there.
Yeah. And the main thing, and you're getting out too. So it's just like, if you're not driving and you're always with somebody, that's great. I mean, when my wife and I go out, I mean, she'll push me up the ramp just cause it's like, I don't want to spend, 8 minutes trying to get up the ramp. And she's just kind of standing there watching me and chuckling at my inability to get up the ramp the first two or three times. That's just not nice.
No.
But you are enjoying Florida. You're digging it. You're happy to be down there as opposed to being in Chicago.
Love Chicago. I will say that first. We moving out of Chicago was a tough decision, but it kind of, I think we talked about it in our last podcast that, you know, it was the right decision. Mary and I were in Wisconsin and Illinois in August, I think it was. And we hit all the Chicago favorites and all the Wisconsin favorites while we were up there. So
all the Chicago food groups.
Yeah. We
your hot dogs, your beefs, your Italian sausages, your pizzas.
Well, when we talked the other day, there's certain things that are here that down here are just hard to find. So we loaded up the car because we drove to Chicago and Wisconsin. My parents and family are in Wisconsin. And we had favorite stores and favorite things we were looking for. And we loaded up the car and we brought it all back with us.
Get a freezer full of Luminati's pizza.
Yeah, well, we actually brought home, there's a Italian sausage place on Grand Avenue, kind of like near Racine. It's called Bari.
Yeah.
And
I love Bari. It's great.
Yeah, they're Italian sausages to die for. So Mary got 20 pounds of hot and 20 pounds of medium or mild.
Nice.
Yeah, and we still have it in the freezer. And that was our perishable food purchase. And then we came back from, I love being in Chicago. Mm-hmm. Hate what the rioters did to the city. Hoping that it recovers. We got out of Chicago because it was too expensive.
We'll be back.
You know.
Yeah, that's the thing is like when you mentioned that moving to Florida, like the cost of living is a lot cheaper, which is of course you pay for the convenience. You know, like living in the city, I love being able to go out my. I love not having to drive. I can take a train. I can take a bus, and I can go shopping to or out to dinner. You know, when there's not a pandemic, in any number of restaurants that are all right around.
Yeah.
Apartment. So I really like that. And I don't know that I'm ready to make that shift down to a place where you have to drive everywhere you want to go.
Yeah.
I'm not ready to do that just yet, but you know, at some point that's probably going to happen. And also the sunshine and the warmth during the winter, because as we were talking about earlier, it's November to March where you just really can't get out and do much. And then when it snows, forget about it. You put your ramp down in a snow drift and then you're wet and pissed off for the next half hour.
Well, they say down here, you'll hear multiple times, you don't have to shovel sunshine. So, you know, we've changed too much because it was about 2 weeks ago or so, right when the time changed, it was about, say, 50, 55 in the morning when I went out pushing. 50, 55 for me was cold. So I'm like,
oh, God.
I've already become
one of those guys.
Yeah. But by 55 by, say, 8:30, it was already 60. By 10 o'clock, it was 70. By noon, it was 80, 85. So, it's cold for a short amount of time. And
you don't want to be out pushing when it's really hot. Like, I know
for
me, when it's summertime and it's 100, like, there were a couple of days where it was really, really hot. It might as well be zero because I can't get out and exercise anyway, because it's just, being a quad will overheat and have a little, autonomic hyperreflexia, and then that's not a party at all.
No, it gets hot here, but there are a couple of months where
and you don't want to exercise in it.
And you don't want to exercise, so that's why I do it right away in the morning. The first thing I do is I go and exercise, and I get that off my list, then my day is complete. I can do nothing from that point forward, and I'm a happy guy, but...
Exactly.
So, the weather thing, it gets hot, but you stay in when it gets too hot. Just like in Chicago when it's too cold.
Stay when it gets too cold.
The thing is it's too hot here for maybe 2 weeks. And that's like a 3 or 4 hour period every day. In Chicago, when it's cold from November 1st to April 15th. There's no very few warm days.
You bundle up.
Yeah,
as long as it's not snowing. If it's dry, I'm fine. If it's dry and cold, I'm fine. If it's cold and snowy, then there's no going out.
Yeah.
Anyhow, but yeah. So, well, I appreciate you sharing your thoughts on the pushing and on keeping track of it, because it was one of those things when we last time we talked, when you were leaving, we compared notes on the Apple Watch and how we track our pushes, and I was like, oh my God, that's I got to talk about that, because I'm really obsessed with the circle closing and the making sure that I get enough, you know, exercise, or that I push at least every hour.
Yeah.
Because your watch kind of taps you you know, 10 minutes before every hour and says, hey, get up and move.
Yeah.
So, it's cool. But, but then when you said you were tracking this with a spreadsheet, I was like, holy shit, that's really taking it to the next level, yeah. Which is, and it's fun. And I've started to, you know, track mine as well, but it's just as far as like the amount of pushes, the time and the distance, those are all three things that you can, well, make a column for each one of them, right?
Yeah. I'm just going for numbers, and I want my million, and I know that I can loosely translate that into distance and loosely translate that into time. And it's more of a, if I didn't have the goal, you know, then I'd push, but I might only push 20 minutes. I have this little built-in rule that if I feel that if I do my 2,700 or more, then at night when I want my can of beer, or at night when I want that Reese's peanut butter cup, I can have it.
Yeah. Yeah. You've earned it. You've burned some calories off. So your tires are bald. Meanwhile,
darn near bald. Yeah. Yeah.
Always have a set. I mean, right now I have two sets I'm looking at that I kind of have just stacked next to my desk. Cause I every 6 months I change my tires. So,
oh, see, I go 2 years. This chair is 2 years. Do you have, your air tires?
Yeah.
See, I have semi-solid inserts in mine, mm-hmm. which make the tires last longer.
Oh, that might be something I should
look
into. Because I keep my, they're like, you know, 70 pounds of pressure.
Yeah.
No, and I'm not sure what the insert would feel like if it's about that same amount. If it's.
They're hard, yeah.
Firm or not.
Yeah. So.
But you're going through tires a lot. That's, not that much, I should say. But yeah, always have a spare set. That's a good advice for everybody. Yeah. All you quads listening out there, always have spare sets of tires and inner tubes, because you never know when you're going to get a flat.
Yeah.
I have two sets of tires just sitting there. And I also have one foot like tire that I can just swap out. Because one time my wife and I were going out for dinner, and someone had left a thumbtack in the hallway, and I rolled over and got a flat tire on my way out.
Yeah.
And we don't have time to change it. And it was like 7 o'clock at night. So we were just able to swap the tire out and the rim and the push rim, the whole thing. I mean, it didn't match my other side, but at least we didn't have to monkey around and get a whole new tire put on that night. And it didn't have to cancel plans. So
I have an old chair that we want to make back up ready. And we have other tires, but they're the solid ones. You know, you see the ones that they're in the hospital. Yeah.
Nightmare.
Yeah.
So. Nightmare. You don't want to have those bouncing around. That would be not good for your suspension and your booty and your whole body just shaking a lot. But yeah, but I but thanks for sharing all your stories about pushing. That's cool. Now we know that you're going through all these tires. Or you need to keep your tires. Everybody needs to have spare tires. And then you got your spreadsheets. Everyone try to push a million pushes a year. It's good for your health and mental health and physical health. Stay in shape. Be good to your body.
That definitely. I agree completely.
Yeah. So I just, but thanks again for spending some time, Jim. And I appreciate it. And I'm sure we'll be in touch here soon. If anybody has any comments or questions, please send them to quadpodcast4@gmail.com. Again, that's quadpodcast4@gmail.com. And we'll talk to everybody soon. Thanks for listening this far. Good night, everybody. Oh, God.